Other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Get ready for the most popular morning show anywhere on the internet. You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia right here on LA Talk Radio. If you'd like to take part in the show today, give us a call at 323-203-0815. And now your program hosts, Sam and Mia.
Indeed, indeed, we're here again. We never miss a day anymore, folks, because we have Mia here, and she shows up on time every day.
Yay!
Welcome to the show, Tuesday, June 25th. We're back here, another gloomy day, but it'll get better.
And yes. I just can't stop smiling. Like, yeah. My face hurts right now. Like, yeah. I am just, oh my gosh.
On a cloud, huh?
Yes, I am on
You're
a cloud.
You're wearing all
nine.
Red today with the Blackhawk jersey.
Yeah, so proud to say that the Chicago Blackhawks have won the Stanley Cup.
Woo! There you go, you see.
I am just, oh my God, that's probably why my voice is like super extra scratchy today, because I was screaming so hard last night. I was out of my mind.
Oh, wow. So what, did you go to a bar where there's a lot of Chicago fans and stuff?
There were actually quite a few, and it was kind of funny because there were quite a few Boston fans too, so it was like, oh, in your face, like, you know, because they're like, you know, I mean, Chicago fans, we're very, very loyal fans. However, we're not like big shit talkers. You know what I mean? Like, we're not the ones to be like, oh, hey, other team, you suck, blah, blah, blah. It's usually like other teams that do that. Like, we're like internally, you know, proud of our teams. And I just feel like, you know, it was a bit of a good feeling, because the Boston fans, they just love to talk so much shit.
Do they really?
You know, and so, yeah, so it was kind of amazing at the end of the game to be like, wow, what was all that for? Absolutely nothing. Okay, like, sit down or go home. Like, yeah. That's what happens when you try to shit talk and brag out loud. It ends up turning around and biting you in the ass.
That's true, exactly.
So, there.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, but
So was the game good though?
It was. I mean, you know, first they scored and we're like, darn, you know, this is really bad. And then we scored and we're like, cool. You know, we're tied. And then, you know, they scored again, and then like there was literally like 7 minutes left. And then we score, and we're thinking, cool, now we're tied. You know, it's 2-2. We're going to go into overtime, most likely. And all of a sudden, with like less than a minute left, we score. Wow. And it was just,
so that's
a
good game.
Oh, it was so amazing. Yeah. It was so, oh my God, I'm so happy I did not go to game 7. Uh-huh. I was like, no, like, I can't take this pressure. it is ruining my life. So, oh my gosh, I'm so glad. But let me tell you, you know,
so
funny story. The last time we won the Stanley Cup in 2010, I didn't have any friends when I moved here, so I was, of course, by myself. And I went to a bar by myself and wore this very same Mariposa jersey that I'm wearing today, number 81. It's awesome. And I sat down and ordered a Cobb salad. And, yeah, it was game 6, same thing. And, we won the Stanley Cup. So last night, I wore this same jersey, went to a bar by myself, ordered a Cobb salad, and boom! We win the Stanley Cup. Again, like, I am not superstitious, but hello.
So you thought that helped.
Oh, yes. Oh, and my nails.
Cup salad.
I'm still rocking the Blackhawks nails, my nail polish. Yeah, I was doing everything in my power for
I'm
us
sure
to
you
take
helped.
The Stanley Cup last night.
You didn't do the rain dance, though.
Oh, after we won, I did many dances, let me tell you. It was like a combination between like a gyrating jackhammer and jumping up and down and something, like, I'm not even quite sure what it was. Like, people thought I was probably just going nuts. And I was like stomping my feet and jumping and waving my hands. Like, It was ridiculous. And I did it all over again this morning.
Great.
Yeah. And I'll probably do it again after the show when I stand up. Like, I am just, I'm so excited.
Okay, well, you know, what can I tell you? I'm happy for you. You know, I mean, it's meaningless to me, but I can tell you're very happy. So.
Thank you. Thank you. Good. I know I got so many text messages last night because everyone knows how I feel about this.
Right.
So, you know, my friends in Florida and my friends back home and, you know, so some friends in New York, everyone's like, congratulations, congratulations.
Like you contributed to the win, right?
Oh, I know. Yeah. I know for sure. And everybody was thanking me on Facebook because I, you know, I kind of put that comment out there about the whole superstition thing. And everyone's like, oh, my gosh, it's because of your damn Cobb salad. Why we won. So they're like, thank you, Mia. I'm like, you're welcome, everybody.
There you
you're
go.
Welcome.
Yeah. I took one for the team. I ate a Cobb salad for everyone.
I did. I did. Oh, man.
That's
yeah.
funny.
Fun times. Sometimes.
Well, I'm happy for you. What can I say?
Thank you. Know? So how are you doing, Sam?
I'm doing...
Enough about me and my Blackhawks rant. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much. I can't talk about much these days, but I will. And but yeah, my life is great. I'm really happy and stuff, you know. So
good.
I'm good. I'm happy for you, Chicago Blackhawks, and... Whatever it takes to make you happy, you know?
Yeah. That's what it takes. The Chicago team are one of my favorite teams to win some kind of championship, and yeah. I'll be, like, reeling for, like, 3 days.
Yeah. Like, well, but they must be pretty good if they won 3 years ago, right?
Yeah, and they, you know, and let me tell you, this season, I mean, is probably, I mean, I've got to say it's been our best. Like, we held a record for, like, the most games won in like such a like we were like undefeated for
wow.
like ever. It was yeah we held a record with that. It was amazing. So we definitely deserve to win because we really had a great season.
Yeah, worked hard on it. Okay.
So, yeah.
Sounds good. Well, congratulations to you.
Thank you.
And if you guys have been hearing laughter in the background, it's because we have a very fun guest in the studio. And her name is Pamela Cardillo. Welcome to the show, Pamela.
Thank you so much. I'm really happy to be here.
Well, I know. I'm happy you're here, too.
And I'm really happy for Mia's Chicago team.
Thank you.
She just could
whatever
fly
means,
right out
right?
of her chair in about 3 minutes.
I really am.
I know. It's funny about sports fans, you know? I mean, it's really funny.
She's into it.
Yeah. So how are you doing, Pamela?
I'm doing fantastic, and I'm really happy to be here, and I'm happy to have my own show. I'm
yes, you
thrilled
do.
With that.
Yes, you started, what, a couple weeks ago, about 3 weeks ago?
It's actually going to be, this is going to be my fourth show.
That's going to be your fourth show.
Like, where did that time go?
I know, amazing. And your show is called Intuitive Healing.
Intuitive Healing, yes.
Okay, and tell us a little bit about the show.
Okay, the show is about intuitive healing, and I specialize in getting people's energy field straightened out. And I'm really, you can't even imagine how excited I am about that because I don't know anybody that's really doing it. I'm sure there's people out there I haven't heard or seen them yet.
Mm-hmm.
But this is also about clearing up family patterning, which is where the bad energy is coming from. And I'm not blaming the parents. I'm not blaming the children. I'm just putting it out there. Right. This is what happens with people's energy. This is how it started. This is what the problem is. And this is how we can fix it. And I am thrilled with that.
Yeah.
And there's different reasons why energy goes down. There's different energies why energy goes up. And so I finally figured out the whole thing.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'm really excited about that because I think it's needed all over the world. It's the reason, it's the competition for energy in our body.
Right.
That starts out in the family. Then when those little children grow up, they do that same family patterning depletion of energy thing because that's what they learned.
Mm.
When they get elected to the White House, those officials are doing the same thing that you and I are doing or me or any of us, and same with other countries, and they don't have this information. So I would like to reach Algeria, Al-Qaeda, Israel, Palestine, the White House, Oprah.
Al-Qaeda, not
Mia.
Interested.
Yeah, you know, all the help you can get.
So that's what my show's about. And every week we have different guest stars. And what we're going to talk today about is the men, because we just had the Father's Day. And you put out that message, and I was so happy to see that. And I'm like, okay, so you don't understand why men abandon their children. We're going to talk about that today.
Yeah, we'll get to that
later
well.
On.
So you're going to talk about it on your show as
yes.
well today?
Talking about
wonderful.
It tomorrow, yeah. And I think next week, I'm going to talk about the children and how their energy and what they have to say, because we're not hearing from the men, and we really want to hear from the men.
Yeah, that sounds very interesting. Yeah. So we'll get to that.
Okay,
awesome.
Perfect.
Awesome.
And then the week after, maybe we'll do the moms. I mean, I don't know. I have a whole thing in my head that we can do, you know?
Really?
Yeah.
You've wanted to do a show for a long time, huh?
You know what? No.
No?
No.
Oh,
you know
what?
I don't know what
like.
Happened. Is that I just
so much for my research.
No, yeah, exactly. I talked to Jeff has been my producer, Jeff Floro, has been a client of mine for a long time. And then I lost touch with them. And then we kind of, you know, started talking again. And then I had lunch with him one day and he said, you know, I knew he was doing a show. The show's been going on for a long time.
Right.
And then he said, well, you know, and I think I said, well, you know, I should do a show. And he said, yeah, you should. And that was that.
Oh, okay.
It just happened. Just
no,
like
there
that.
You go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have
but
a
obviously
voice.
You
you know?
Yeah, you feel you have a lot to say.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, that's good.
And I'm putting it out there.
Have you always been like that? I mean, have you always been talkative and fun? And,
very talkative. Not always that much fun.
Yeah.
I'm more fun as I get older, I think. I don't know what happened with it. Well, yeah, because now I have more energy because I figured out how to keep my energy intact.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Without feeling, you know, my motto on my show, and it's just so perfect. Are you tired, stressed, and depressed?
Mm.
That's everybody, you know, except for Mia.
Very true.
Who may be stressed out, tired, and tomorrow, and then she's going to call me for an appointment. But anyway.
There you go. She doesn't seem to be depressed, tired, or whatever.
Well, she's young. Wait for a few years. How old are you? I hate to even, I don't even think I'm
23.
23. Okay, I remember that age. Yeah, so I wasn't always, I always had, I mean, people are shocked when I said, you know, at age 41, it all caught up with me.
Mm.
I was in bed on and off for a year. I was so tired.
Wow.
Because I was tired, stressed, and depressed, really didn't know what was going on.
Mm.
And I figured out that I was trying to help too many people.
Mm.
Way too many.
Yeah.
And instead of helping myself, which is what I do now, I was helping other people so much that I ended up just absolutely collapsing.
And depleted.
Mm-hmm. Depleted of all energy.
Wow.
And so little by little, I got into, I started out as an orange juice girl. I don't know how, for Vaughn's Market, I was 17. How in the world I made it from there to here, I have no idea. Yeah, orange juice. I still drink that orange juice. But anyway.
Aww, awesome.
So I learned how to slowly build up my energy over many years. And I went to healing school and I, you know, got into healing, and then I became a massage therapist, and I had different jobs, and that's a whole other story. Then I worked at the racetrack also. I worked with racehorses.
Right.
That was an experience.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
So tell
beautiful.
Us a little bit about this. We'd like to find out a little bit about your background and stuff. Are you originally from L.A.?
Originally from here. I grew up in Van Nuys.
Really?
I went to St. Catherine's Catholic, went to St. Catherine's School, went to Alemany High School, and then I went on to college at Valley College and Pierce College. So I've been in and around the Valley my whole life.
Right.
I moved to Pasadena for many years. And I really like it there. I mean, it's terrific the way it looks.
Pasadena's nice.
Colorado Boulevard. I remember when that place was a complete mess.
Yeah.
And now it's thriving and beautiful, and it's like I'm so happy somebody had that idea to restore that town.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
Mia, have you ever been to Pasadena? It's like right here, you know.
Yeah.
You should
have to go. I mean, I haven't really gone for anything specific other than, you know, some
there's
odd
just shopping,
here and there,
walking on the main street.
Eating your Cobb salad. I mean.
Yeah. They have Hooters there.
Oh, boy. Okay.
She used to work at Hooters.
You didn't hear that. Pretend you didn't hear
that. No, she used to work at Hooters. That's why I brought
it
up.
That's the best.
Modeling and calendar.
Really?
And, oh, yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I did some modeling also.
Really?
How old were you when you were
That's
a model?
Awesome.
This is another thing I did. How old were you when you were... Are you modeling now?
I do a little bit, yeah. I did a lot... Well, I did a lot of print ads, like billboards and stuff when I was about 18.
18.
And then when I was, 18 and 19. And that's kind of when I was doing the...
I became a model at age 45.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Look at you.
I don't know
how
I even made that scene happen, but I was determined. I'm gonna make that happen. And I made it happen.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
That's
and
true.
So I worked for Glamour Models on Beverly. And I'll never forget, I just have to tell you this funny story because it's just so amazing. In fact, it's one of my pictures is on my website. I became a model on the way back from, because this is how fortunate I am. When I became a massage therapist and worked for the Ritz on the plane home, me and my friend said, okay, no matter what, we're going to get those portfolios and get this modeling thing going. She was 27, I think. I was 45.
Wow.
I'm going to make this happen. So I got all of that done, you know, and the photo shoot. Oh, my God. So I'm working in the hotel at like 8 o'clock at night. I have all day to do this photo shoot. It's my first one. I'm doing an eight-hour photo shoot. I'm scared to death. I have no clue what this means. You know, I'm going to school, so I have a little bit of money. I'm supporting myself. I give all my money to the photographer, right? The 8 hours, I was sick. I mean, I was so scared. I mean, it's different when you're just taking a casual shot. When you're paying somebody now, this is going to be your profession. You're terrified, don't you think?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, I was. I don't know about you. You look different than me. But anyway, at the end of this photo shoot, I said, look, and I'm smiling. You have like 5 minutes to get all these shots done. I was there for 8 hours, right?
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I thought I was going to throw up. I had like a horrible migraine headache all day long. So I didn't have fun with this photo shoot. It was work.
Yeah, it sounded like it. Yeah.
To relax in front of the camera, oh my God, I need therapy for that. You know what I mean? And I'm going to tell you, it was the last 12 shots of that photo shoot. He took like 100 pictures. They are absolutely stunning. I don't know how I did it. It got me every job. It got me into the agency I wanted. Eileen Ford agency called me within a few years. I kept using those pictures. You'll see it on my Facebook. They're amazing shots.
Wow.
And it was only the rest of the shots, the 80-some-odd shots he took, are trash.
Wow.
These last ones that took, like, he just kept clicking 5 minutes are phenomenal pictures, and I love these.
Maybe it took some
That's
time
awesome.
To warm up and stuff.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it was.
Until
because
you
kind of have to relax in front of the camera. It's like being in front of a horse, the racehorse. They know when you're nervous.
Oh, yeah.
That can't, you know, they can feel a little fly on their back, and they know they're looking at your body language. They know when you're scared.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I was scared in front of that camera. But it all turned out, you know?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah, totally cool.
Yeah.
So I did a little modeling, and then I just wanted to see if I liked it. And then I went full force back into massage, back into body healing. It was fun to be in front of the camera.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but we're jumping to age 45. Let's find out a little bit what you did before that.
Yeah, before that I was the orange juice girl, like I said.
Okay, at 17 you were the orange juice girl. What
does
that mean?
And then I went to school.
You
it
just
means
letting people sample the orange juice or what?
I had to actually make the juice, take the oranges and to go into the machine. I had my little pink outfit for Vons. I had the, you know, I was like, oh my God.
So
I did that for a little while.
Yeah.
Then I graduated from high school. I went right into computers. I was dating this guy, and his sister was in computers. She got me a job downtown. So at 18, I was working full time.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow. Nice.
Full time, still living
my
at home.
My kids should learn a couple things from you.
Well, yeah. Thank you.
And I still don't know how to understand a computer. I'm so not tech
savvy. I'm not very. You know what? You have to understand. When I say computers, I worked in a right outside a computer room. So this is the big IBM equipment.
Right.
Wow. The computer room is bigger than this whole office.
Yeah, like a mainframe.
It was
computer.
Mainframe computing, and I did the scheduling on the computer. So I did that, and then I worked at USC. I was there for 10 years. So I was in computers at age 40. You always hear about this, the midlife crisis thing. I got so burned out. I was done. I don't know why I was done, but I was done with whatever I was doing. And I took a year off, and that's when I went into real estate, met some healing people. And then I just, the whole healing thing, every door opened the minute that I got into the healing field.
Wow.
Yeah.
So do you have any siblings? Did you grow up with
siblings? I don't have any biological children. I have my husband's stepchildren. I have stepchildren, and I have grandchildren.
No, but siblings of yours.
Siblings. Oh,
yes,
I'm sorry. I have a younger brother.
Uh-huh.
I have a younger brother. He's living with my mom now, and my mom is going to be 92.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
So she needs someone
to
watch
over her.
She
looks better than you do. Yeah,
Thank you very much.
Actually, she needs a little help, but my mom at 92 still handles everything. She still cleans her house. She goes shopping. I mean,
amazing.
You can
like
tell
grandma.
That
my
she's older. I mean, we have to be careful. She's had back problems and all kinds of stuff, but somehow it all cleared up.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of it has cleared up, and she's, you know, doing very good right now. So I'm thrilled for that.
Yeah, I can't imagine at 91 still living with back pain and stuff.
Well, 91, the back pain went away.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Wow.
No,
that's
and
amazing.
It may clear up. I mean, I don't know. I had a back problem last year also. So I don't know. I've taken a lot of load off her with the money, and, you know, I handle, like, lots of stuff for her. But she's able to her mind and everything is better than all of ours.
Wow, that's amazing. That's awesome. Yeah.
I'm happy for that.
And at that age, she's seen quite a lot. I mean, the world has changed so much.
Oh, yeah.
In 90 years.
And this is really funny, is that to do my show, my brother has his computer, but he's busy and he's not available. So she really wants to see my show. I mean, hear my show, right? She hasn't been able to do it. So Jeff and I set her up with my iPod. Oh, yeah. And I love telling people that. My mom has an iPod. And she loves it.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's very clear. You have those little headphones in there. So, you know, she's able to hear the show. So perfect.
Awesome. Yeah.
Not I did relying the same thing when my grandma got her smartphone.
Oh, really?
And she has a tablet, too, like an iPad. So
oh,
I'm like, what? Yeah, she's in like well That's into cool. her 90s. It's amazing.
Really?
She still drives, and she's never home. She's always golfing or doing something.
Wow.
She lives by herself.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Still
That's
driving
cool.
at 90?
Oh,
she's
yeah.
still driving? Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
So that just, I don't think that we should be putting limitations on people at any age, because you just never know what they're capable of doing. And
well,
I don't
then,
think...
Yeah, I mean, then you have my other grandma, who's just in her mid-70s, and she has the dementia, and she's completely lost her mind.
So
she can't do anything
that's
for
hard.
Herself. So,
yeah, it's like on a case-by-case basis, I think.
It is.
You know, because some people should not be driving.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Some people should not. And
some
they don't
people
realize
at 60
that.
Shouldn't be driving.
Right. But
I'm
they don't realize
them, you know?
It.
As my husband loves to say.
Wow, that's cool. So have you traveled quite a bit? Did you have time to travel with all the
I've
stuff
traveled,
you've done?
I was 18 or 19 when I did my first little trip away from home. I went to Mexico with two of my friends.
Mm-hmm.
That was it was fun, but oh my God, so many dramas and disasters. There was a fire in the hotel.
Oh my God.
Really?
This was in Acapulco. Yeah. And then in Puerto Vallarta, I got really sick with I hate to say it, dysentery. I remember being on the plane at night. It was pouring. On a prop plane, flying me to Mexico City to get treatment. Oh, yeah. I mean, it was.
Oh, my God.
It was, but it was a lot of fun. And Mazatlan, I mean, I'm sure you've traveled, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
In Mexico. I mean, I grew up in the valley, very little sheltered life with my little Alameda High School uniform, right? Now it's time to do this trip to Mexico. I know nothing about the world. We go to Mexico, and there are, because it's a humid climate, I have never seen such big bugs in my life. Everything's bigger.
Really?
Yeah. In that humid environment, I saw a cockroach for the first time.
Uh-huh.
I thought I was just going to freaking die right now. It
I
was
do the same
so
thing. I hate
awful.
Bugs. So
bugs. Yes, bugs. Well, I hate bugs. I hate dirt. Dirt's my big enemy. I'm a clean freak.
<Really?
Yeah. laughs> So anyway, that was my trip to Mexico. And then I pretty much have been through a few states. And then I went to Hawaii and I spent a month there. That was totally fun.
Yeah.
Then, like I said, when I was at the Ritz, every single door, I mean, I'm in the right field. That's how you know. When all the doors are opening and there's not a whole lot of struggle for things, you're in the right place. You're where God wants you to be. And God wants me to be that healer again.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah. So then I was at the Ritz.
Right.
And, you know, there was some seminars in Europe, in France. I really wanted to go. And they said, okay. Just like that.
Really?
They helped me. I had to pay for some of it. They helped me pay for it. But I went to study body treatments in a little town off the north coast of, on the Normandy coast. Another drama. But anyway, I did it, and, you know, who gets to go to school in France?
That's true.
Wow. Hello?
That's true.
You know?
That's awesome.
Yeah. So then I came back to the Ritz, and that was one of the best jobs I ever had. I met people, diplomats. I worked on the royal family.
Wow.
Yeah, of Britain, and so it was really cool.
Yeah.
But I was tired. Again, here we go again with the tired thing. After 3 years, so I started my own business, and I've been doing my own business ever since. And that I like because I'm in complete control. I can do what I want.
Right.
If I want my business cards to be a certain color, I don't have to ask somebody. I'm just doing it.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, what about this that horse racing you were talking about?
Yes.
What happened there?
What happened there was that I was working for the hotel.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what made me go to the track one day because Santa Anita horse track isn't far from the hotel.
Right.
I went to the track, and you have to understand, when you talk to me, I'm always talking about the energy. That energy there felt so exciting. And I've never really been around the horses, but for some reason, I wanted to be at that horse track.
Really?
So I got an appointment, this is what I mean, with the racing secretary. That's the top guy. And I told him what I wanted to do. I wanted to work with the jockeys and the horses and get them in a better state.
Right.
People perform better, believe it or not, when they're relaxed. I don't mean the falling asleep relax. I mean just calm energy. So he said, yeah, that sounded good, you know. So he started me off, but he said, and he didn't say this. He didn't say because you're white, but he was saying.
In other words.
We don't want you at Santa Anita. We don't want you on that backtrack. I knew where he was going with this, right? Mm-hmm. We're going to start you out at Pomona with the baby horses out of the way. You get all your training there, and then we're going to see, you know, how you like this and how it all develops. So I went to Pomona. I was happy to do that. It's like the baby with the babies, right? And so my first two horses were baby horses. They were 2 years old. They don't look like babies. Two fillies. And I will never forget such a funny story. I got to tell you this. Okay, so I'm with this trainer. I'm a babe in the woods. I know nothing. And you have to remember, all those people on the back track, they've been there forever since they were little babies themselves. Well, I'm now 46. And I'm on that track, and I'll never forget that trainer that said, I want you to go into that horse stall, and I want you to brush that horse. And I'm saying, you mean you want me to go in there by myself? Okay, I will. So I go in there, but as I'm bringing the horse in, just a few, like the day before, I see this chicken, right? The chicken's walking, and here's the little baby chickies. All in a row. Aww. Oh, yeah. Totally cute. You have to hear this. Yeah. And so, and the very last little chickie is black.
Really?
And
oh,
I'm
my
thinking,
God.
Oh, my God. Do I wish all my friends, my family, my relatives, I wish everybody could see this.
Wow,
right?
Man.
I mean, how exciting is that I get to work outside with very famous horses?
Uh-huh.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, next day, I'm bringing that horse in that horse stall. Right? And I see this chicken in the back of the stall. And I said to my trainer, why is that chicken back there? And he said, well, because the little baby chickies are under her wings. And I'm like, they are? Yeah. And I'm thinking, oh, my God. And now I'm bringing that horse into that stall. Be careful, because one step with that hoof, those babies aren't going to exist anymore. Uh-huh. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, as soon as the horse tripped or I don't know what happened. But here comes the chicken got scared, the mama.
Right?
Up come the wings. Uh-huh. And here comes out all the baby chickies running throughout the stall.
Oh.
And they made it out of there. Yay!
What a cute story.
So there's a lot of stories like that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, God, I wish people could see all that.
Yeah.
I got
mm-hmm.
to be it.
Yeah.
But then after, I mean, that's a huge work. So then I was a hot walker.
Mm.
After the horses race, you have to cool them down.
I see.
So they get the capes,
uh-huh.
right?
Right.
And you have to, like, give them a bath. And you walk them around the track, not the track, but the in the backfield, so
right,
that they
okay.
their muscles don't cramp up.
I see.
And then you have to bandage their legs. Mm. There's a whole art to this.
Wow. Yeah, it
and the trainer's
like it,
going,
yeah.
you see that little bump on her leg? And I'm like, what? I don't see anything. Then, you know, we're walking a little closer. Do you see that bump? Nope. I don't see it.
Whoa.
That little tiny bump right there is inflamed. And if we don't treat that right now, that could be the end of her career. And I'm thinking, oh.
Oh, wow.
In the name of the Father and of the Son. I'm so happy I'm not the trainer because I don't want that. Because I couldn't even see what he was talking about.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, you have to be really careful and you have to know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So anyway, I was there at Pomona. Then I graduated. I finally went into Santa Anita.
Nice.
And I went to Hollywood Park. And then by that time, like 6 months had gone by, need to rest now. Really tired. You know, and that's when I started doing my massage business, and I was still working at the Ritz. I don't know how I fit all this stuff.
Yeah, that's
in.
Amazing. That's
so
amazing.
You're asking me, what have I done?
Right.
This is what
you've
I've done
quite a bit. Okay.
That's so interesting.
So now, how did you discover you were an intuitive, and what is it exactly?
Yeah, I found out strictly by accident.
Really?
I really did. I mean, I had some people, some psychics, and some intuitives will tell you, oh yeah, I was born like this. You know, it's like I had no clue.
Right.
And so what happened was that when I was in real estate, I met some people that were in healing work. And this one lady said, you should go with us. You know, I said, okay, I'm open, right?
Right.
Well, I went to this seminar, and this man, his name was Dennis Adams, and he was a psychic. And I had already been to college. I was there 3 years. I didn't graduate. And now I totally get why. I was bored to death.
Yeah.
I couldn't sustain the energy there and the knowledge, although I love books and reading and you know, very interested in knowledge. But formal education, couldn't do it.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. So now the first time that I heard this psychic say, I'm working with the Russian and American governments on human energy, I'm like, I swear to God, I was kind of slouching in my chair. The minute I heard that sentence, I'm like, whoa. It's like my ears just opened,
really?
And I'm like, my eyes are big anyway, but now they're really big. Because now I want to know everything that you're talking about. It's like, you're working with energy? How come we don't know about that? Right?
Oh, yeah.
Never saw that man again. Isn't that interesting? And he's super gifted. But then I started going to healing school. And healing school is not a college where you graduate. There's no degrees on the wall.
Right.
People don't ever ask me, well, where, you know, as a point of interest, they may ask me, God, where did you learn all this stuff? When you're in law or anything else, the first thing, or doctor, first thing you're going to look at is all those certificates. And now it's not a question of, you know, you're a lawyer, so it's where did you go to school?
Right.
If you say Valley College, you're screwed.
Yeah.
You know? If you say Stanford or Harvard or Princeton, well, man, you are the in crowd. You
right.
know what I mean? So
right,
it's just a different gig.
Right.
Anyway, so I'm in the healing school, and one of my teachers said, you are super intuitive. And, I'm like, as usual, I always do this. Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
In a room of 50 people, he's looking right at me, and I'm thinking,
oh, wow.
I don't know what he's talking. What is that?
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
So as I started my process with my family patterning, I noticed that my brain, I was thinking less. Thank God, we don't want me thinking. And I was starting to feel more.
Mm.
And I did a lot of spiritual rebirthing. I went to more seminars. I was working on the family patterning. When you start letting go of all of that ego stuff, and I'll explain that later, you start getting more intuitive, meaning that you start listening to your voice in your body, in your stomach. Like, you know this, you know, like your gut feeling.
Right.
Okay,
yeah.
We talk about it all the time.
Right.
Only we know it as the gut feeling.
Mm-hmm.
That's really your intuition.
Mm.
And a lot of people, they're not tuned into that.
Right.
Or they'll use the brain instead.
Right.
Well,
so we
I
don't
do
really
them.
Develop it or anything.
Yeah, you develop it. And we already know what's there. And anybody can do this. It's just that I spent over 20 years developing my intuition. That's a long time.
That's pretty good.
So anything that I do,
I'm
listening to my intuition. If you ask me on your show, I'm thinking and I'm feeling. Does that feel right? Yes, it does. I'm going to do it.
Mm.
You know, so even when I go to the store, if it doesn't feel right to me, I'm going to another store. If the traffic pattern, if this feels like, man, I don't know, I have a bad feeling about that. I pay attention to my gut.
Right.
Yeah. Most people are listening to their head.
That's
so
right.
We have to train people that, yes, it's thinking, it's also feeling. It's thinking and feeling that make up a human body. Not just thinking. You're not a human doing machine, are you?
Right. No.
Are you? Are you sure?
I don't know. What am I? I don't know.
Because we want people focused on their feelings also, don't we? I mean, feelings is really important.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, the first time my teacher said, well, how do you feel? I'm like, who, me? I don't know how I feel.
Yeah.
I know what I think. And he said, I don't want to know what you think. I know what you think. How do you feel? How do you feel about yourself? It's like, really? Huh. Nobody ever asked me that before.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anything right now, you know? And so I had to go home and sit on that couch for a long time to figure out, how do I feel? I have absolutely no clue. I was so thinking.
Right.
And especially women, when they're thinking, they're doing, and they're usually doing for other people, and then they put themselves last.
Yeah.
A million things during the course of the day, plus those kids. They're neglecting themselves. The men are neglecting themselves. And that's what the kids grow up to, because they've seen all that.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the kids grow up and copy those little family patterning. And then pretty soon we have a dysfunctional culture.
Right. So let's get to that a little bit. You know, I brought up the fact on Father's Day that, you know, it's like there's no greatest feeling than being with your kids and seeing them grow up and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And but then it's clear that a lot of men leave, and they leave their kids, abandon them, and move on with their lives. They move to another city, or if they're not, they cut contact with their kids and stuff. And I think that's one of the biggest tragedies of a family.
It
you
is.
Know,
absolutely.
Because I think the father is just as important as the mother in
absolutely.
A relationship, you know, and some people don't realize this. And I think it's reflected in men's rights, or the lack of them, where, you know, where you fight for custody and stuff. And I think 99% of the time, the mother is going to get the kids.
Yes, you're right.
So I think then the father would probably feel alienated
totally.
And rejected. And
you're
stuff.
So smart.
Well,
look at all you know.
Yeah. So tell us what. So, okay. I mean, so that's a big problem.
Yeah, it is
and
a big
you're
problem.
Saying there's an explanation to that.
Definitely.
It's not because they're bad people or anything.
All
tell
right.
us about
so
it.
So here's my little story.
Okay.
You ready?
You're ready. I'm ready.
Okay. Let's just understand from the very beginning, just briefly, okay, just so that when you're putting the message out there, and I was so happy you did that, why you because you don't understand. Why is this happening? Let's just go back to the beginning of time, the caveman.
Right.
The caveman, what did the caveman do? They were out there being the gatherers. They weren't socialized. They were out there trying to get the food, the shelter, everything for their family. It was the women in the little circles with the fire. Who knows what they were doing, right? But they were talking, right? Because they're this close to each other.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so they had to form that bond, and that's what women do. Women are very good at talking.
Right.
Absolutely. I mean, our voices for women, we are moving 100, you know, just dead ahead.
Right.
Okay, so that's awesome. But the men, the cavemen back here, bring that up to current time now. Mm-hmm. They're basically, they don't have a voice. Mm-hmm. You hear very little. They're really good, and my husband is, you know, we laugh about this all the time. My husband should be on this show. Mm-hmm. As far as talking, he should have his own radio show. He can talk to you about anything. I don't care what it is, and he can make you laugh. But when it comes to the personal interaction, very passive.
Mm-hmm.
So the men have been very passive in that communication. Think about the caveman.
Right.
So are they. So come all the way forward. Now it's time for that husband and that father. Let's just go back to his beginning with his birth scenario. Almost everybody coming out of the womb that I have ever seen already has that thought of not being good enough.
So, really?
Yes.
As soon
not
as you being, come out of the womb.
As soon as you,
so it's in our DNA.
Born, yeah. Well, no, it's in your ego.
Right.
The ego, you come out with an ego. The ego believes in fear and separation.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you need to know right now, so it's not too complicated, okay? Fear and separation. So let's just say that baby comes out of the womb, not good enough, in fear and separation. He's going through his family. He's going through school. He grows up all the time at the very bottom line, not good enough. Now he's going to have a kid. Now he's going to sabotage. Even if it starts out really good, he's out there. He's gathering, making money. Right? He's doing the gathering of the money and everything else. The mom is at home raising the kid or out doing a job, but the mom is like the main person in that household.
Mm.
Now there's a break in the family, a split. The men aren't talking because they're still back there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're very passive. And if you think they felt not good enough the whole time they're growing up, now they're really feeling it. Now the men are feeling, and so now the court system, as you said, is going to award that child to, you know, most of the custody to the mom, mm-hmm. as probably should be. I don't know. I got to look at that. But anyway, so now the men are feeling, perfect word, alienated.
Mm-hmm.
The moms are hugely upset with the dads. They're telling those kids, your dad this, your dad cheated, your dad lied, your dad, and none of it's good.
Right.
And so now.
And it's one-sided too, you know. But the
it's kid all one-sided.
The kid doesn't realize that.
The kid doesn't realize because it's still a little child.
Right.
Let's just say, for example, and their brains and their whole physique, they're not developed. So they're listening to who's ever talking.
Mm-hmm.
They're not. What are they going to do? There's the man over here is passive.
Right.
Right. So now they're listening to that mom, and whether you want to believe it or not, after a while you keep hearing that same information, you're probably going to believe it.
Right.
Now the child grows up. Let's just say over the age of 18. In a perfect world, those kids should be picking up that phone, calling that dad, saying what happened. So that kid has the wherewithal to find out what's the truth. Is mom lying or not? I don't know who to believe.
Right.
Right?
Right.
The point is you need both parents in an environment to make a healthy family. We have got to get back to that. So now the dads are silent. They're broken.
Right.
They're broken. They feel abandoned. They spend all this time gathering out there in the woods or the corp, whatever you want to call it, getting the money. They don't have time to really sit down and talk to those kids and do more parenting because these kids and that mom, they want everything life has to offer.
Mm.
Right?
Right.
They want the best life. That man is out there trying to get it for them because that's his job.
Right.
Bring in the money. So I'm not taking the side of the man. Mm-hmm. I'm just telling you, this is the dynamics.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay? So all I'm doing today is bringing up the awareness. That's all. All right?
Yeah.
So that's what's happening with the men. The men are sitting there knowing that his kids are now over 18.
Right.
And they're thinking, why aren't my kids calling me?
Right.
If they have a problem, why aren't they calling me to ask? He's waiting, right? The kids are waiting for their dad to call. So everybody's waiting. This is what I mean about fear and separation. Mm. It starts way back here, and it's with everybody. So the point that we have to do to fix it, mm-hmm. pick up that phone.
Yeah.
I don't care who picks up the phone. Pick up the phone and make the call.
Take the initiative.
Take the initiative. Take action instead of talking. Because what I see a lot of people doing is talking. And the women, we're so good at this, aren't we? talking.
Talk.
Oh, yeah. Very dangerous. So talking. And then there's no room for the men to talk. Because we're taking up all the space. So we need to, like, back off and let the women. And, you know, again, it's a family patterning thing. They're telling those kids, okay, call your dad. And how are they saying it? With a whole bunch of charge behind their voice.
Right.
Or they're rolling their eyes in the back of their head. I'm not faulting the women. They're only doing their family stuff. They have the same birth scenario as the men. We all do.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So until you get out of all the ego stuff, forget about your ego. It's not helping anybody. Pick up the phone and try to get things back on track, even if you have a divorce.
Right.
That's where I'm at.
Right.
And the men, we have to create a safer place for them to talk, because there's so much anger at the men that they feel just like cowering in the corner, because they're already feeling not good enough. Now they feel abandoned by their families, depending on their whole birth scenario, their family scenario, all comes into play.
Right. And I also imagine, you know, during a divorce or something where the mother's so domineering and things like that, he realizes that she stands in the way between him and the kids.
Absolutely.
So they just bail.
Yep.
You know?
And then, like you said, excuse me for interrupting, if they do call the dad, you think they're going to tell those moms? Now there's a big secret. Now, hey, Bobby, guess what? I'm in touch with dad. You should call. You know, so now they're going to keep it a secret from their mom. And then when the mom does find out, whoa. Out of sight betrayal, now all of her abandonment stuff is going to come up. So we have to, like, heal up those family patterns, get rid of the fear and the separation, and come together. And, you know, because it's the child, the energy. Can you imagine? No, I'm just talking about the energy pattern.
Right.
Can you imagine that the parents are supposed to be giving energy to the children?
Right.
Right?
Right.
What's happening is the children are giving energy to the parent. It's backwards.
Yeah.
So now they're thinking, God, I wonder what mom, you know, how am I going to help mom and dad? Right. Now they're feeling not good enough because they can't fix their parents. Mm. That's not how it's supposed to be.
Right.
And so you're robbing them of their energy. And then when they grow up, they're tired, stressed, and depressed. And here comes Pamela Cardillo.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, the thing is that I know some fathers that, you know, the mothers just took the kids, moved to another place, don't allow the kids to keep any contact with the father and stuff.
That's what I mean.
And so a lot of the blame does lie with the mothers,
yes,
right?
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, because their birth stuff is coming up.
Right.
Their abandonment issue. She doesn't want to lose those kids after giving birth, doing everything for those kids. She doesn't want to feel abandoned and betrayed herself. So she's going to say whatever it takes. And sometimes what happens, it happened in our family, my husband, okay? This is still going on. And what's really sad, 10 years have gone by. Mm. That's in our family. I know another family, it's 20 years. I know another family that I know very well. 40 years have gone. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And finally, the daughter got in touch with the dad. You know what he said? Well, I thought you were better off with your mom. Mm. And so it created so much anger in that daughter. It's like, why didn't you come after us? Why didn't you try to find us? Why didn't you? And his answer was, I thought you were better off with that's an answer? So what does that tell you? See what I'm saying about the not good enough thing? Mm. Because the bottom line is because he didn't feel good enough to be the dad.
Right.
And who suffers? The whole family unit suffers.
Yeah. Right.
We don't want that anymore, do we?
Yeah.
We're the cheerleaders for getting things straightened out.
Right.
Because I have, you know, and same with this going on in our family also. I have stepped aside. I'm not talking. Yay for me.
Yeah.
No more talking. Pamela Cardell, it's hard to imagine.
Yeah.
My husband is handling the kids. And if they don't like what he's saying or not responding, then they can fix it because I should not be fixing that.
Right.
I'm a fixer. I don't know if you can see it there or not. I fix things that aren't even broken, and then when they're fixed, I fix them again. So, no, I'm not fixing that.
Right.
That's his job, and I'm so happy to say no. I love that word, don't you? Don't you love that word, no? Love that word.
I use it all the time.
Oh, yeah, no. N-O. You handle, and he wants to anyway.
Yeah.
So let him handle it. I am thrilled that he's handling that.
Yeah.
So well, that, okay, so like doesn't. You're saying, there's different scenarios of, well, the mom left the state, you just said it, right, took the kids. There's another scenario where the dad just disappeared because he felt like they're going to be better off with it. So
right.
No matter what scenario you tell me, mm-hmm. It all boils down to the same thing, fear, separation, and not good enough.
Right.
So somehow, and this is what my husband's been working on for the last 10 years, because now I'm in his face. He's cleaning that garage.
Yeah.
Anything that a man can do to help their self-esteem, work out, start eating. This is something that we have to solve within ourselves, because the answer isn't out here.
Right.
It's internal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay? So
right.
This is why this is called spiritual healing. That's spiritual feeling, right? You know, clean the garage. You think my husband's going to clean that garage one time? Are you kidding me? This thing's been messed up for like 20, 30 years. So now he's cleaning the garage. He had his car. He has a 74 El Camino. That was painted like a month ago. The body work was done. We've been restoring our house. I'll bring you some pictures, the before and after. It's stunning, right?
Wow.
Is it done? Not done.
Right.
But you see, anything you can do to help that man build their self-esteem, that's what we need to do.
Right. So that's what women need to do.
Yes.
Rather than break down their self-esteem,
absolutely.
Actually help build it.
Well, they need to know what they actually need to do, because they have that same birth pattern.
Right.
They need to work on their own self-esteem. So when they're saying to their child, you know what, I really want you to have a relationship with your dad. There's no charge, there's no energy charge in their voice, because children know when you're telling the truth. If you're saying, well, you can go ahead. You know, I want you to call your dad. You know, if they say it with all that emotional charge, it's because they're scared.
Right.
So they have to let go of the fear, and they have to help their own self-esteem.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Women are good at getting facials, working on their body. I mean, they're on it right now. Even look at the entertainers, the women. The women are really coming forward.
Right.
But they have to understand, too, this is not about money. This is about feeling better as a human being, as a female authority figure. So when you're dealing with those children, I don't care what age it is, they're coming across with sincerity.
Right.
No anger.
Right.
No resentment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, honey, I really screwed up. I shouldn't have done. I think this is what's going on. I don't know for sure. In our own family. Oh, yeah. So now that ex-wife, she now has cancer. She has cancer. I don't think she's going to make it.
Yeah.
I wish it didn't have to be like this. I tried to help. It didn't work.
Right.
Full of anger and resentment. Took it out on the ex-husband, and now he's doing, and now he found me. She found somebody else, didn't work out. She found another person, it didn't work out. So now she's by herself with those kids.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now she has cancer. This is because that karma, you do this thing with karma with your children, it's gonna come back on you. It comes full circle. All the way around, and it's going to go right back to you. You keep putting out that negative energy about your dad, my ex-husband, this. You know, it catches up.
Right.
And it catches up in a very ugly, ugly way. And it could be the end of somebody's life.
Yeah.
So I think my husband and I, he doesn't know it yet. He's going to become a public speaker. Yeah, he should tell his story, really. I mean, because we're here to, like, provide guidance and direction. You know, do this, don't do this, this is what happened, this is a shortcut, it doesn't have to be like this.
Right.
We're working on our own stuff, but I am, you know, he has his own set of affirmations, I'm good enough, blah, just like I do.
Right.
And constantly, with the health, you know, not too much ice cream, you know, the diet, cleaning the house, fixing the cars, we are a very productive couple. It's we're not out there spending tons of money.
Yeah.
I'm not shopping on Rodeo Drive yet.
Not yet, huh? Well, you still got time. Yeah.
Word.
She picked up on that right away.
Oh, yeah.
So it's production. It's productive. So that we feel better as people. So when we're talking, those kids aren't getting a mixed signal. That's what those moms are sending, a mixed signal. They don't know they're doing that. So this is what this is, education. they're saying one thing, but they really mean something else. What they're really saying is, I don't want you to talk to your dad ever again.
Right.
You know? Or and now they get sick. Now they're saying, God, you know, now they're seeing how those kids grew up without their dad.
Yeah.
Parent alienation. Now they're seeing that's a mistake. How sad is that?
Right.
10 years, 20 years, 30, not 10 days. This is years.
Right.
And now they're seeing they made a mistake. And who's suffering? Those kids.
There you go.
Don't do this anymore, female authority figures or the males. You got to step up to the plate here and make that call.
There you go. And on that note, we're going to wrap up. Tell people how they can get a hold of you.
Best thing, because there's just so many ways. Best thing to do is look at my website, healingbodyshop.com. Just go with that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not real
healingbodyshop.com.
Healingbodyshop.com.
And there's all the contacts
and
everything.
Wait till you see my website. Oh, yeah. I love it.
And I love your business cards.
Yeah.
They're so pretty.
It's the same colors.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and my modeling picture's on there, so I know you'll love that.
Nice.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, if you want to hear Pamela talk and talk and talk, then contact her, and she'll help you. Pamela, you're so much fun.
Thank you so much. Full of information.
Thank you. Everybody check her show out, Intuitive Healing, Wednesday at noon on Channel 2, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you so much for having me. I hope you had fun. Mia, did you have fun today?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. We learned a couple things, so there you go.
Good. That's all I want.
All right. Okay, everybody. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Mia.
Thank you.
See everybody tomorrow.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you have a question for the show, or if you'd like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please send an email along to sam@latalkradio.com. Sam in the Morning with Mia is a production of LA Talk Radio, where we say what we want.